Welcome into an episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Today, we're going to continue building out our prospects using superlatives. For each position, last week, we knocked out running back, wide receiver, tight end, and offensive tackle. This week, we're going to start out with interior offensive linemen is how we're going to go about this. And we have built them out. We're ready to go. Dalton, welcome to the show. Welcome back. How was your Monday? How's your Tuesday morning treating you?
Tuesday morning is treating me quite well right now. I'm on my second cup of coffee, as you guys watching on YouTube can see. And I'm ready to go. It's a leg day. It's my favorite day. So I'm just ready to get this started. Talk about some of the hog mollies in the middle. Talk about guys with some sand in their pants. All of the, you know, blue collar, lunch pail, interior offensive line work that needs to get done and is finally getting rewarded at the NFL level with some really substantial contracts.
Yeah. Interior offensive linemen are getting paid thanks to the Carolina Panthers set it off last year when they signed two of them for big money, including Robert Hunt, got a ton of money. And yeah, good for the big guys up front. We're starting to see some love for interior offensive linemen, and guards matter, centers matter. So let's dive into this. We have the same exact six categories that we used for offensive tackles: pass protection, run blocking, length and strike power, mental processing, athleticism, and flexibility. So let's dive into this, Dalton. Who do you have for pass protection?
Yeah, for pass protection, and this might seem a little bit off the wall. I swear to you guys, it is not off of the wall. It is Alabama's Tyler Booker. And when we talk about pass protection from an offensive tackle perspective, it is almost always going to be an athletic marvel. Somebody who is flexible, somebody who has great explosiveness in and out of their stance, somebody who can mirror edge rushers at a really high level. They need to look the part of the Joe Thomas athlete. That's not the way for me I look at interior offensive line at all. And honestly, aside from being the same position on the line, like you can call them offensive linemen, I look at these positions incredibly differently. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about some of the other traits as well. But for me, it's Tyler Booker. For me, it's can you take a 330-pound human being and stop them in their tracks if they are trying to run through an MF-er's chest? Mm-hmm. And Tyler Booker is a brick wall. Additionally, Tyler Booker, for me, was one of the more technically proficient pass protectors because he is so wide, because he is so large. And because he has that phone booth agility, and listen, again, in testing, awesome. He was a red Raz guy. Don't care. Don't see it pop up and be a huge issue on tape for me. There are other guys in the past who, yes, they were big, they were powerful, but they couldn't really move all that well. And when you are in the same backfield and you are moving around and you are getting out and on the hoof with the most athletic quarterback in college football, mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry about your athleticism. And I don't with Tyler Booker. Additionally, when you have a quarterback who, I wouldn't say Jalen Milroe likes to move around a ton because he doesn't have that like looseness with him in the pocket, but you have to be able to survive with a mobile quarterback in the backfield. And Tyler Booker is able to do that in pass protection as well. He didn't allow a sack all year. He only allowed 10 pressures all year. He was one of statistically the best pass protectors on the interior in college football this year. On top of my eyes absolutely loving what I see on tape, for me, there are other guys that I could have chosen for this category, but I also wanted to choose those guys for another category. And it's going to be funny how it all works out with my list compared to Corey's.
Yeah. So for my list, I have Tyler Booker on here later down the line here. For my list, I'm going to go with Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. Again, there's probably another place that I could have used Donovan Jackson, and the place that you did use Donovan Jackson, and the place that I honestly used Tyler Booker. But I appreciate Donovan Jackson's pass protecting ability from both interior and from tackle. So there's just so much good. 4-year starter. Honestly, his tackle tape was better, so maybe I'm talking myself out of this a little bit. But as an interior offensive lineman as well, I think he's got the feet to redirect. He's got the length, and this isn't length, obviously, but he gets the job done. He just gets the job done. A lot like we talk about Armon Membau, it's not always the prettiest, but the job gets done. I think it's pretty similar for Donovan Jackson here. And honestly, looking through this list of superlatives of just trying to find where I wanted to put Donovan Jackson, and I had names everywhere else, and I was like, oh, well, this one makes sense too. Like, in my opinion, this is a top 25 player. This is a guy who should go first round. He should get the opportunity to fail outside at tackle first before he plays guard. I don't know if he's going to get that opportunity because I do think the league probably views him as a guard. But whether he's playing tackle, whether he's playing guard, especially that playoff run, I know his first start at tackle was rough against Abdul Carter. That's a first tough draw for your first matchup at tackle. But there's a lot to love about Donovan Jackson's feet, a lot to love about his timing with his hands and his anchor. That just make him hard to get past as a pass protector.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you nails on with that. And for me, I understand it for you specifically because of how much you value him at tackle and with his arm length and what we have seen from him at tackle. It can even sway you a little bit more for his ability as a pass protector on the interior because of what he was able to eventually bring at offensive tackle, where we kind of think more subconsciously about pass protection in general. And that's not to say that he's not fantastic as an interior player, as a pass protector, but that added versatility and the bigger microscope on his pass protection at tackle really shows up.
Love it. Moving on to run blocking. So for my run blocking, I'm using a guy that you snuck into the offensive tackle rankings as well, who did play right tackle at Purdue, but I'm projecting here as an interior offensive lineman. We've both talked about him at center. I do think he's probably going to play guard, but I'm going to go with Marcus Bowe for run blocking. And I'm going to do this less in the winning in a phone booth and driving out defensive linemen out of gaps as a run blocker. But I don't know if there's a guard and an offensive lineman in this class that I think climbs more controlled, plays through the whistle, understands how to break down in space and get his hands on second, third level defenders. And then to work with his hands, even in space is like, we know about his hands and pass protection. He's still trying to snatch people at the second level. He's still trying to catch people off balance at the second level. But I do love his ability to climb controlled, get to the spot, consistently beat linebackers to the spot, second level defenders to the spot, and then continue to look to drive through the whistle. So I'm going to go with Marcus Bowe here for run blocking.
And for me, for run blocking, I am going to go with North Dakota State offensive tackle. We're talking about a lot of offensive tackles here today.
We've talked about it all year, about all these tackles are guards, so it's appropriate.
Gray Zabel might have been the best player in Mobile. Just flat out, he might have been the best player in Mobile. And I've brought this up a million times. You've brought this up as well. It's probably why he's not on your list at all. We didn't love his tackle tape. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we are a tape. We are trusting the tape to take an older podcast. Yeah. It is what it is, man. For me, when I see, specifically for something like the Senior Bowl, a positional swap. Mm-hmm. And then I see you dominate at that position against the best in college football. I have to take notice to that. And it wasn't just him dominating them in shorts and t-shirts either. He was dominating them when they were in fully padded practices, going full out, full chap. And he looked like a complete natural at both guard and center. Now, I thought he looked absolutely incredible at center. I think to be able to take the ball and snap it for the first time, really, in a couple of years, because he's played a little bit everywhere at North Dakota State, but mostly at tackle. I think that that is a phenomenal piece of versatility. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was just his ability to get to the right place at the right time, understand where he was supposed to be spatially, and then to be able to completely dominate physically and technically from the interior before it being a new position against the best of the best. He was, honestly, I cannot stop raving about what I saw from him in the Senior Bowl. And for me, that's why I put him here. I wanted to fit him somewhere. And I think he's a good athlete, but I just think that there are more explosive athletes that I could put for like athleticism.
Right.
And from a mental processing standpoint, like I could have put Marcus Bow here because I love his ability in a phone booth as well as a run blocker. But I wanted to use him somewhere else as well. So it's just, again, trying to build the perfect offensive lineman for this exercise is a little bit difficult to parse through. So for me, Zabel gets the run blocking grade here.
Yeah. And that's why he didn't make my list. It's just hard to find just one name for all of these things.
Yeah.
Length and strike power. This is where we swapped out Donovan Jackson and Tyler Booker. Yeah. So,
do we want to talk about why, like why for each specifically?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me you leaned on the second half of this why can't I think of the name of that? What is that?
The dash?
The dash.
I don't know.
Forward slash. You leaned on the second half of the forward slash, and I leaned on the first because I think Donovan Jackson, I know his arms only came in at like a little bit over 33, but there were talks of 35. And I had Ohio State's measurements from like last spring, and it was close to 35. So yeah. I don't trust
the combine measurements.
The combine was really weird this year with arm lengths. So I'm going to go with Donovan Jackson here for the length. You see it as a pass protector on the interior and how he was able to survive with it on the outside. Now, I think that the strike power in a phone booth is good. I think that he completely forgets sometimes how to use his hands on the interior, not in a phone booth, but when he is on the move across the formation. And so like traps, powers, when he is contacting guys that are coming up on him quick, he kind of forgets to use his hands. And it's almost as if, and I understand this completely, playing linebacker and quarterback when I was younger, I didn't want to use my right hand when I was taking on blocks or tackling as much because I didn't want to hurt my throwing hand. And for me, it feels like there's some guys who are like, I don't really want to break a finger. Like, if I do, I do, but I don't really want to. So maybe this, and it's completely subconscious. I don't think these guys are out here saying, I don't want to do it. I think it's a subconscious thing. But I think overall, his anatomical length, in addition to his ability to reach out and touch guys on the interior, because of that length and because of his technical ability with his hands is really impressive. So that's why I have Donovan Jackson. Mm-hmm.
So I went Tyler Booker actually for both halves because his arms came in at 34 and a half. So
that's crazy too.
So he's got the length there too, but
yeah.
You said you didn't go with Donovan Jackson because of more so of the ability outside of the phone booth. I'm going with Tyler Booker because of his ability in the phone booth. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to get in a bar fight with that guy. I don't want to get in a phone booth with that guy. He's got absolute hammers for hands for starters. And I do think the strike timing is there. The punch it sends shockwaves. And again, the 34 and a half inch arms. When I watched Tyler Booker's tape, I came away less impressed than you did overall, because I think he is a bit tight in the hips and there was a little bit of issue, not really redirecting, but I don't know, matching a little bit of flexibility off the edge there. But where he does win is if he gets you chest to chest, like you're done, it's over. And so just a powerful, powerful dude. And it shows up in the run game too, as much as it does in the passing game. He'll de-cleat, he'll dethrone players. And again, we probably could have used him as a run blocker as well in this exercise, but we didn't. I'm just going to go with his overall sheer rocked up power and length here and just knock it out here with this one.
It sounds fair to me. Mental processing. Mine's easy. I'm going to get through it really, really quick here. It's Marcus Bowe. I think he's one of the most intelligent players in this class. It's why I really loved him or love his projection to the pivot at center, because I think his spatial awareness, his ability to kind of catch flashes of color and eyes and be in the right place when it comes to playing defensive line games. You have a lot more two-way to worry about on the interior. And so for me, it's Marcus Bowe, and it's not particularly close. And I'm very interested in yours because it's a name that you don't hear too often in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Oregon State's Joshua Gray here. And the driving force behind this is that he has been a Pac-12 all-performer at left tackle and at guard. And at the Shrine Bowl was one of the best players in Frisco. I guess Denton, because it was at North Texas campus, but in the Dallas metro area, playing center pretty much the whole week, where I think he projects best. And so I think he has this immense knowledge to play guard, tackle, center. He's definitely not a tackle, even though that's where he played for the first 4 years of his college career. He didn't play guard till this season at 6'4". But then he went to guard, did the same thing. Performed it. And again, you can't really be all Pac-12 when there's two teams in the Pac-12. So, but charged with one penalty all season long, allowed just one sack. A very intelligent player to hear him pointing out things. You could hear him talking up from the sideline at the Shrine Bowl as well. This guy's honestly a guy that I think is going to be a decade long starter at center. Like I think that highly of Joshua Gray's tape. I didn't love it at tackle. Like, he came in with a higher Blesto grade last year as a tackle than Talisi Fuaga, who went in the first round. And I was like, I don't see that, because his tackle tape wasn't all that pretty, in my opinion. But his guard tape, man, is good. I think the 60-year senior thing is kind of probably wearing down his draft stock a little bit, as well as playing it in a wasteland, a dead conference, and a team that lost their head coach and all of their talent because nobody wanted to play in a dead conference. Then he stayed and he hung around for that sixth season. So I like Joshua Gray a lot. And I think the sixth year, the ability to play all three spots, and just hearing him direct traffic on the field live in Frisco. I think this is a guy who could call out protections, who could set protections at the NFL level if that's a thing that the team didn't want to put on their quarterback, like Jason Kelce did with Jalen Hurts until Jason Kelce retired, like that kind of situation. I think Joshua Gray's got it from an intelligence level, and he's got it from an athleticism level too. So this is a guy who's going to go day three, and I think he's going to carve out a nice NFL career.
Yeah. And listen, knock out your athleticism one, because it's super duper easy. You took the easy way out here.
Yeah. I took Jared Wilson. And I didn't do it just because of all of his testing numbers. Yes, testing numbers is a big reason. He did test as an elite athlete, as a 99th percentile athlete, running a 4.940 with a 96th percentile 10 yard and a 97th percentile 20 yard split, a 93rd percentile vert, a 96th percentile broad. Yeah, like that matters a little bit to me, but I do see it translate on tape as well. I do think he could be a little more. He's a little out of control when he's climbing and when he's getting into space, but there's no doubting his ability to climb, his ability to get into space. The athleticism that he put on display in Indy definitely shows, even if his game isn't all the way well-rounded, if it isn't all the way there yet. I mean, this is a guy that I think teams are going to take in the third round just because of the sky-high potential. And again, tested as a 99th percentile athlete on top of what's already on tape. And again, that ability to get to the boundary, he's pulling from center around guard, his guard and tackle, getting to the boundary and leading on outside run blocks for Georgia this year. So I'm going to go with Jared Wilson. Take the easy one there for Jared Wilson as my athleticism pick.
And it's time for me to talk about another offensive tackle. It's for me, this is the Danzig Bear. Jonas Devine and I, we talked about it over the summer. We've talked about it less during the season just because he was moving from right side to left side. He wasn't as effective or efficient this year whatsoever. And we expected him to be one of the best players in Mobile, and he was just kind of good, but didn't really shine the way that we thought that he could. But he is a dancing bear at 330. The young man can move, and there's a little bit of the redirect that we talk about, but honestly, I don't think it's the natural ability or inability to redirect. I just think that he freaking oversets too much. Mm-hmm. Like I just think that it's a level of commitment that is just far too great to defend the arc. But that's where you really get to see that explosiveness out of his stance in that massive ability to gain depth on his kick step. So for me, this is Jonas Vinay. His ability, like you were talking about with Wilson, to get to the second level is there with him as a run blocker as well. That's only going to continue on the interior. And for me, the athleticism is also a size relative thing, because he is able to do what he's able to do at 320, 330. Compared to like even somebody like Tyler Booker, who I know he didn't test well in Indianapolis, but somebody who I thought looked fine on tape. There's a clear difference between the way that the two move on tape at 320, 330 pounds. Mm-hmm. So for me, Jonas Vinay is the type of athleticism dancing bear that I enjoy in an interior offensive lineman, mostly just because I don't love my IOL guys being 295 to 305.
Yeah, totally understandable. And I honestly, that explosiveness where he kicks out of translated in his 10-20 and even his 40-yard dash, I did not see him bearing down the track like the way he did it in Indianapolis either. Mm-hmm. But he put on a show. All right, last category here. Let's go to flexibility. I'm going to start here mainly because I took a throwback to summer scouting, probably my biggest whiff of summer scouting here. As I had Emory Jones as OT1 coming into the season, that's a pretty big whiff from where we sit now, where he's likely a top pick to early day three pick as a guard. As we are about 2 weeks out from the draft here.
But let me bring this up. We did talk about it being a very, very big potential thing with Emory Jones.
True. We did.
It was all potential. That's what summer scouting's about, Corey. We're okay. We didn't bill him as the next big thing. We just said, hey, he has these traits. If these traits translate into technical prowess and consistency, he could be one of the best. That didn't happen.
But again, I think, like we talked about with offensive tackles, like knowing how to marry how many kick sets you need to take based off of a drop, like a quarterback's drop, is something key, and it's something that Emory Jones just doesn't have. So I do think him playing guard where he doesn't have to kick as wide or as deep is going to do wonders for him. Because, again, I do think this guy is immensely flexible. The core strength is there. You know, there's some reps on the 2023 tape and 2024 tape of him. Like, a dude is just getting through his chest, and he is almost bent over backwards like Gumby, but he's anchored in. Like, he has a ton of core strength, has a ton of hip flexibility to match some bend and speed off the edge. He's not stiff. He's a really, I wish he would have tested. He didn't do anything at the combine, which I thought was kind of bizarre. But there's one thing that you can't doubt about Emory Jones, that it is that flexibility that he comes with. And I think it's going to translate to guard. And I think that, you know, some guys deserve the right to fail outside at tackle before they get kicked into guard. And I think that Emory Jones is very much a guy who needs to play guard, and maybe in a pinch, if you need a swing tackle to kick out, that you can throw him out there. But there's just so much from the mental side of things, and where I would just say you're a 3-year starter and you're still making some of these mistakes, that maybe it's time to try something near and new and cut down the amount of distance that you're having to kick, and the amount you have to think per pass snap. And so that's my thoughts on Emory Jones. Huge whiff from summer scouting, but it is what it is. But I'm still taking his flexibility here.
I have a little bit of a wild card here. Tricking everybody in the world, including the Senior Bowl staff, into believing that you can be an NFL player because of your tape at 5'10", 270 pounds is unbelievable. North Carolina's Willie Lampkin is my pick for flexibility. And it is because surviving the onslaught of Division I interior play in the ACC, where there is some pretty decent interior play over the years and this year. Willie Lampkin's survival instinct, Willie Lampkin's ability to drop anchor at 270 pounds and survive against guys who are outweighing him by 50, 60 pounds sometimes is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can you be an NFL player at 270 pounds? Like, he's an NFL player from the 1930s, the 1940s, 50s, and he would have been a big one back then. He's a center from the 70s. But athletes have grown. Athletes have grown exponentially, even over the past 10 years. When you look at how far the fitness and nutrition have come in the past 10 years, where science has come with weight training and the ability to optimize yourself as an athlete. Oh my God, look at these edge rushers now. These edge rushers are 280 running 4.7s.
Yeah.
4.6s, 4.5s, some of them. Willie Lampkin is 5'10", 270. He's not playing at the NFL level. Because at the end of the day, mass doesn't move mass per se. But the ability to have mass and explosiveness is what moves mass. And you need that M variable. And he just doesn't have it. But the dude survived.
Yep.
The dude thrived enough to get a Senior Bowl invite. A very Sutton Smith type of performance from him.
Yeah.
But Sutton Smith did it at a small school.
Yeah.
Willie Lampkin was doing this with Mac at North Carolina. So I wanted to give him a shout out in this. I needed to give him a shout out in this, but this is the only category that made sense here. The flexibility to survive is why he is here for me.
Do you think he could play fullback at the NFL level?
I mean, as a blocker, absolutely. But how athletic do you want? I mean, like, if you're just going to put him in near the goal line, yeah, sure. But
there's like, some teams, the Browns,
there are their some
fullback was Nick Harris.
The problem is, I don't know if he can even survive enough to be a rotational or emergency interior offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And you're not just going to roster a fullback for possibly two snaps a game.
What do you think, fullback plus like jumbo offensive lineman?
And but not really, because your jumbo guys usually get, well, maybe, because, you know, if you go jumbo, usually you throw your swing tackle out there,
yeah,
because they're just used to playing on the outside. But he would be saved a little bit from the mass on the interior as an extra lineman playing as an extra tight end, a blocking tight end type. And if you want to use him online, like as a blocking tight end and as a fullback, maybe it could work. And I expect him to be able to push for a roster spot and be on practice squad because he's a good football player. It's just at the end of the day, 270 and 5'10 is an incredible feat to overcome in the modern NFL.
I agree. But yeah, that's all we got. We built out our dream interior offensive lineman using prospects from this year's class. So again, we'll go through it. Dalton for pass protection, put Tyler Booker. Run blocking, Gray Zabel. Length and strike power, Donovan Jackson. Mental processing, Marcus Bowe. Athleticism, Jonas Avainai. Flexibility, Willie Lampkin. I feel like you could have used Marcus Bowe for those last three and been completely fine. And I didn't use him for any of those three. For mine, pass protection, Donovan Jackson. Run blocking, Marcus Bowe. Length and strike power, Tyler Booker. Mental processing, Joshua Gray. Athleticism, Jared Wilson. And flexibility, Emory Jones Jr. All right, Dalton, later this week, we've got Dafter draft. We didn't do one last week, so we've got a Dafter draft to hit this week. And then we're moving to the defensive side of the ball, building out some of these defensive players. So, yeah, do you have anything to add for the people here?
No, stay tuned. That's all I got. Oh, and as always, guys, I love you.
Yeah. There it is. Until tomorrow. See ya.